Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this opportunity to come and worship you this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts in that still small voice, that you would reach us. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Have you ever come to a place where you're listening to someone who either does not believe in God or Jesus, or is still unconvinced that Jesus is who he claims to be? As you hear them, it stirs your soul. Your very inmost part of you, deep within you, that part that only God knows of. Feelings of wanting to help them, to aid them in knowing Jesus, to experience his unconditional love, his peace in the midst of troubles, the contentment of simply knowing God and not finding all your happiness in material possessions, the life-altering ease of eternal certainty after your days here on earth is done. And as you listen to them, you want them to know the love and peace that comes with Jesus. You want them to find salvation in Christ. And as you listen to them, the Holy Spirit within you helps you to begin to formulate a response to the barriers which may keep them from having faith or increasing their faith in Christ. After all, isn't that what Jesus asks us to do? For those of us who believe, we keep on going. For those of us still searching, keep digging and giving grace to those who are trying to help you navigate through all of the noise in life to find Jesus. Because in this morning's scripture, Jesus sets the disciples' course, what their life's work will be. And his last command is this, read it with me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, I know that when facing those moments, those critical moments, when someone who needs to hear from God and God whispers in your ear or heart of hearts, be my witness to them. Or love them unconditionally like I love you. Or I too am helping them to find the truth. And you hear God whisper those things to you and something stirs deep within. And if you're like me, your heart skips a beat. You look up and say, who, me, Lord? And your brain freezes. What am I going to say? You see, we all face those types of moments when God calls us to be his witnesses to others, those who may know God but are far away, those who may know God but not Jesus, those who may know nothing of God, and especially those who are antagonistic against God. You want me to say something to them, Lord? And your brain freezes. Who, me, Lord? No pressure. No pressure. Especially as I remember Jesus' last words to them. You will receive power when what happens? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. You are not alone. Man. And you will be my witnesses to those who are near to you, to those that you really don't care about that live next door, and to all the world. But remember, it is the Holy Spirit who empowers you to be a witness. As we've been going through the Case for Christ, the book written by Lee Strobel, it was in his life that he was just not ignorant of God. He was totally against the idea of God and Jesus. No way. God in the flesh? Yet as he attempted to build a case against Jesus Christ, he ended up writing a book called The Case for Christ. He found the Bible was the most reliable writings from the ancient times. He found the specific writings about Jesus, what we call the Gospels, or what some people call the biographies of Jesus, the story of his life, were accurate eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, that Jesus did do miracles that would blow our minds even today, that Jesus spoke with an unreal authority, that Jesus did claim to be God in the flesh who came down to set us free from sin and death, that Jesus did die on the cross, and that when the tomb was found empty 3 days later, it wasn't because somebody took his body. Because Jesus was then seen alive. And at one point, between the first day he was seen alive and the 40th day when he went back into heaven, he was seen by over 500 people at one moment. So Lee Strobel, after being confronted by reliable eyewitness accounts, as well as corroborating evidence that all was true, he looked at one last area, and that last area was this. Is there circumstantial evidence that would also prove all of this was true, that would prove that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Christ, the true, the one and only God? In other words, if there were no other eyewitness accounts, could we still come to the conclusion that Jesus was who he claimed to be? Do you remember years ago, a guy named Timothy McVeigh was found guilty of bombing a federal building, killing over 100 people in Oklahoma City. And he was found guilty, although no one saw him build the bomb. He was found guilty, even though no one saw him drive the truck. He was found guilty, although there was no videotape evidence of him leaving the scene. He was convicted based on circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence. Over 137 people who never saw him testified to over 700 pieces of evidence that gave an airtight case which led to his conviction. When I think about Jesus, the biggest witness to his life and the truth of who he is this. It's this one thing. That lives have been changed. That lives have been changed. After Jesus left them with this command to be his witnesses, do you know what they went out and did? These followers of him? Well, they went back to their jobs. They were content to fish, collect taxes, and the other trades that they had left 3 years earlier to follow Jesus. Not. They didn't go back to their jobs, their trades. No, they went out and did what Jesus asked them to do. We see Peter in Acts not saying, hey, Jesus is the answer to all your problems coming, and you should look into that. He's really rad, man. He didn't do that. No, Peter says in his first big talk, he says these words, Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. Remember those things that would blow your mind even today? He did those things. Raising people from the dead, causing lame people to walk again. Which God did among you through him as you yourselves, what? No. Because you saw them. You saw them. And if that wasn't enough, he goes on to state, read it with me. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on me. And then you prepare yourself for the inevitable frown, the, are you kidding? Look. And despite those looks, Peter continued until he himself, sharing Jesus, would eventually be crucified. But then he said to those who would crucify him, I am unworthy to be crucified like Jesus was. And so they hung him upside down and crucified him that way. The circumstantial evidence here is that he, along with many other believers in Jesus, were willing to die instead of recanting their witness of Jesus. Instead of saying, no, you're right, he was a sham, don't do this to me. They never said that. They never said that Jesus was a fraud. They were willing to die because they were convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was God, that Jesus fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies that pointed them to who Jesus or who the Messiah would be. And then there's Stephen. It says, a man of God who did wondrous miracles in God's name and was filled with God's grace and was the first to die for Jesus. He too didn't recant his belief in Jesus as the Messiah, even though it would have saved his life. Also, the circumstantial evidence of those lives who were changed from those who were against Jesus to those who eventually followed Jesus, like James, Jesus' brother, who didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah until he saw him again. And then James went out and became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Because not only was he a believer, but he was willing to invest his life to lead others into finding him, to go out and be a witness. And there were others like Saul of Tarsus, whom we know as Paul, the Apostle Paul, who tried to wipe out the early church before it really got momentum. He then encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus and probably became the greatest writer and evangelist of his day. In fact, many people today who are believers, who are seeking Jesus, still read the words that he wrote nearly 2,000 years ago about Jesus and about being a follower of Jesus. That is circumstantial evidence to show that what Jesus claimed to be was true for Paul, it was true for James, and should be true for us. Both of these men's lives were absolutely changed, and both died for Jesus instead of saving themselves by recanting. But that was then. Come on. That was 2,000 years ago. Does Jesus still change lives today? You're not supposed to answer that out loud. That's a rhetorical question. Yes, he still changes lives today. We could talk about the many who follow Jesus today. The more famous Billy Grahams and Mother Teresa's of the world. And what about though yet, what about those who like James and Paul and the disciple? What about those who followed maybe a different God at one point, but then on penalty of death decided to follow Jesus? And what about you? Alice, Karen, Joey, Ron? What about you, Randy? What about you, Frank? What about you, Terry, Becky? Has Jesus changed your life? Has he made it better? Have you found peace and contentment through Jesus? You who are in the world, who go about your days sharing Jesus with encouraging words or acts of love and kindness, do you do that because Jesus changed your life too? In my life, I found contentment and peace in the midst of trials, knowing that not only is God the Holy Spirit with me, but Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Ancient of Days, interceding for me, talking to his dad about helping me live my life here. Not only have I found real purpose and meaning for life in general, I have found my specific purpose, the specific meaning of my life in Christ. I'm here to tell you that I have experienced emotional healings in my life, and I have experienced physical healing as well. I don't share Jesus because it feels good or it's the thing to do. I share Jesus because I simply found that he is the way to the truth. That he is the way to life. Real life. Now, both now and for all eternity. In the last 5 weeks, I've shared about Jesus using the information from the book, The Case for Christ, about the reliability of the Bible, about the eyewitness accounts, the corroborating evidence, as well as the circumstantial evidence. And in these last 5 weeks, I have shared this information listen, I'm learning along with you. I have used this information specifically for four different people who had questions about God, who were on a journey with God themselves, looking for contentment, looking for peace. And God has armed me with this information that I have then gone out and what? Shared. Right? I took it in. I didn't hide it away, but I shared it with others. In his writing of the book, The Case for Christ, Lee Strobel chronicles how he was convinced by all of this evidence pointing to Jesus, and he himself becomes one more piece of circumstantial evidence to the power and love of Jesus, as well as some of the other more famous skeptics like Josh McDowell and C.S. Lewis, who each took time to truly investigate for themselves the claims of Jesus and all of the evidence that goes with them. And when it comes to living life for Jesus, we all become one more piece of circumstantial evidence to the existence of Jesus. Earlier I stated when we were faced with witnessing to someone else about Jesus that the Holy Spirit was with us. Do you remember that? He empowers us to say what needs to be said. Well, there's a catch. There's a catch. Did you know that? We have to be willing to study for ourselves all of the evidence in regard to the Bible and the historicity of Jesus. We have to be willing to read for ourselves and become familiar with the words of Jesus. Those red words in the gospel accounts, we have to know them. What he said, what he did. Because without knowing the words of Christ, without knowing the story of Christ, without being in the Bible, then the Holy Spirit can't bring to mind the words to say if we haven't the knowledge to say them to begin with. That's the catch. We have to spend time with Jesus too, to be a faithful witness for. If I haven't read for myself, how can I share what I don't know? I strongly encourage you to know Jesus through reading his biographies over and over and over again, to spend time in prayer every day, to share his love for us to others in very real and tangible ways, and to point others to him as others have pointed him to you. And then practice, 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 right? Talk about it with believers. Man, we've got that. Greatest group of practice people, right? I want to share Jesus. Randy, can I share Jesus with you? Well, I already know Jesus. Well, let me practice on you, Randy, and then you can practice on me, right? We should never be afraid to talk about what Jesus has done in our lives with those who are already believers. And yet, somewhere in our life, there's that catch that we just don't do it. And I don't know why. We should be free to share what Jesus is doing in our lives with one another. Not only does it help us to say it to each other, to hear our words rolling off of our lips, to say, this is what I think I should say, but then we have someone who says, well, that's great. Remember that part of your story where you said this? I think you should bring that out more. Right? When we practice with one another, we get better. If I want to play chess and I put the players on the board but don't know how to move them, am I going to be good to go? I'm going to get my butt kicked by someone who's more experienced. But if you, like Lee Strobel, spend time and look at the evidence, look at and understand all that it presents, then you will be able to present that information to other people. And then, on top of that, oh my goodness, the strongest piece of evidence is you. What God has done in your life. When you present that, nobody can repeat it. Because it happened to you. Right? There will be people in our lives who are not willing to put the energy into finding the truth. And I believe this is often the case because they just simply don't want to know the truth. But it takes time and energy that they might not want to put forth. And so you might have to lead them along. You know, I read about the biographies of Jesus, that they're the most ancient reliable writings from 2,000 years ago. Isn't that just interesting stuff? I don't care about Jesus. Right? Did you know that there were actual eyewitnesses that saw Jesus alive again after he was dead? I don't want to hear about that. You know, you start to present the evidence that you have studied, right? The Holy Spirit prompts you to say it. And then people, even though they may want to refute it, they have to hear it. And then it becomes between them and God, as they know the truth. People will not approach always with an open mind. An open mind would mean that they would have to then follow the evidence wherever it led. An open mind might be the verdict that they reach would cause them to have to make changes in their lives. I remember in my 20s, I took the time to seek and know the truth about God the Father and Jesus the Son. And I remember the moment as though it were yesterday. If I follow Jesus, everything will change. And it did. Allow God to change you to be who He wants you to be, and you will experience life more abundantly. You will experience more peace and contentment. Be faithful followers. Be faithful seekers. Be faithful witnesses. Allow God to fill you and use you as you celebrate life now with love. Amen? Let us pray. Because you live, Jesus, we know we can face all of our todays and all of our tomorrows knowing that you walk with us. Because you live, Jesus, we can face our days without fear and trembling. Because you live, Jesus, I know that you hold my future, all of our futures, and that life will always be worth living. Because you live. Amen.